Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today we're jumping into some really fascinating research specifically chosen for you, the learner.
Right. And we're not just, you know, skimming the surface.
Definitely not. We're going deep into a pretty complex paper, but the goal here is to make it clear, engaging, and hopefully give you some of those aha moments you like.
Yeah, without getting totally lost in the weeds, the jargon.
Exactly. We know you want to get up to speed quickly and really get it.
So that's the plan for this deep dive. Distill the core insights.
Okay, so the source for today is a research paper. It's titled Exponential Asymptotics and Law of the Iterated Logarithm for Intersection Local Times of Random Walks.
Sounds like a mouthful, I know.
It does, but honestly, inside there are some really surprising ideas about things that seem, well, totally random.
Mm-hmm. Basically, the paper looks at the math behind how often different independent random paths end up intersecting.
Like paths of molecules bumping around,
yeah.
Or maybe trends in data sets, stuff like that.
Exactly those kinds of things. It digs into the probability, the likelihood of these intersections happening, and also their behavior over the long run.
Okay, let's try and unpack that a bit. We've got these separate kind of chaotic movement.
Independent paths, yeah.
And the paper is looking for the rules, the math rules, that say when and how often they actually meet up. What kind of meeting are we talking about?
Good question. It's about quantifying when they're at the exact same location at the exact same time.
Ah, okay. Not just crossing paths.
Right. It measures the amount of time they spend simultaneously in the same spot. And this measure has a name, intersection local time.
Intersection local time. Got it.
Now, the math gets handled a bit differently depending on if the paths are continuous, that's called Brownian motion, or if they're made of discrete steps, which we call random walks.
Okay, so like the difference between watching several streams flowing smoothly versus, I don't know, several people hopping randomly square to square on a chessboard.
That's actually a pretty good way to picture it, yeah.
So does the paper say when these intersections keep happening? Like, forever?
It does address that. It's one of the key questions. The researchers point to a critical condition for them to intersect infinitely often.
Okay, what is it?
It depends on the number of paths, let's call it P,
yeah,
and the number of dimensions they're moving in, D. The condition is P times D minus 2 has to be less than or equal to D. So mm-hmm. PD2 AED.
Whoa, okay. So it's not just piling on more paths guarantees they'll keep meeting forever.
Yep.
The space they're moving in, the dimensionality is just as important. That's really interesting.
Absolutely critical. Mm-hmm. Think about our world 3D. So D equals 3.
Right.
In that case, the condition becomes P32 A3 or just PU3. So you need at least two paths, P2, for them to potentially cross infinitely often in 3D space.
Makes sense.
And the paper specifically digs into cases like two or more paths on a 2D plane, so D2, PO2, mm-hmm. and also the case of two paths in 3D space, which is D3, P2.
Okay. Now you mentioned Brownian motion, the smooth paths, and random walks, the discrete steps. The paper connects these. How do they relate?
They do. It turns out the way these step-by-step random walks intersect over really long times. Well, it starts to look a lot like how Brownian motion paths intersect.
Huh.
There's a mathematical concept called convergence and distribution. It's like if you imagine the steps in the random walk getting smaller and smaller and happening faster and faster, the whole path begins to resemble that smooth, continuous Brownian trajectory.
Okay, so the jagged path smooths out over time and scale.
Pretty much. And this convergence involves something called the covariance matrix.
Covariance matrix.
Yeah.
What does that tell us?
It essentially describes how the different directions of movement within each random walk are related, sort of the overall shape or tendency of the steps.
So over the long haul, the random walk behaves like Brownian motion, and this matrix captures some essential property of that walk.
You got it. Oh. And because they're linked like this, the expectation is that their long-term intersection patterns, how often they meet, should be similar too.
Right. Now, the outline mentions a couple of other big math ideas, large deviations, and the law of the iterated logarithm. They sound intense.
Right. They are pretty fundamental concepts in probability, yeah.
Can you break them down for us in this context? What's their role here?
Sure. Large deviations theory is basically about the probability of rare events happening.
Okay. Like things far from the average.
Exactly. Outcomes that are way different from what you'd normally expect. So maybe a surprisingly large number of intersections happening in a short time or surprisingly few. Large deviations gives us the math to calculate the odds of those rare occurrences.
Okay, odds of rare intersection events. What about the other one? Law of the iterated logarithm.
The law of the iterated logarithm, or LIL, describes the absolute upper limits of the fluctuations. Mm-hmm. How wildly can these random processes swing over very, very long timescales? The LIL sets those boundaries.
So large deviations, how likely are the freak events, LIL? How big can those freak events possibly get long term?
That's a really good way to put it, yeah. And the paper mentions that previous work already looked at some specific situations.
Like what?
Like the critical cases, where that formula, PD2, exactly equals D. And also the simple one-dimensional case. This paper focuses on the other scenarios, the non-critical ones, where PD2 is less than D, and we're in two or more dimensions.
Gotcha. Then we hit this term, Gagliardo-Nirenberg inequality.
Wow. What on earth is that doing here?
Oh, yeah. It sounds like it comes out of left field, doesn't it?
A little bit.
It's actually a really important inequality in mathematical analysis. It connects different ways you can measure the size of function, its norms, with how fast it's changing its gradient.
Okay. Still seems a bit abstract for random paths hitting each other.
But here's the fascinating part. This seemingly abstract tool turns out to be absolutely central to analyzing the intersection problem. Specifically, there's a certain best constant tied to this inequality for a given dimension, a D in number of paths, P. Let's call it Q.
A constant Q.
Yes. And the paper shows it plays a huge role. So this inequality isn't just abstract math. It acts like a bridge, connecting basic function properties to the actual probabilities of these paths meeting. And this kappa constant is the key.
Precisely. That's the surprising connection. In fact, one of the main results, theorem 2.1 in the paper, basically says that the exact formula for calculating those large deviation probabilities for Brownian motion intersections, it's given directly in terms of this best constant guess.
That's incredible. So the likelihood of rare intersection events is directly tied to this fundamental constant from analysis.
Exactly. And what's also interesting is that finding the exact value of this constant CAFI is actually still an active area of research for many cases. It's hard to calculate.
Wow. So we know it's crucial, but we don't always know its exact value.
For some cases, yes. The paper mentions some known values, some conjectures like for D2, P3, and an approximation for the DP2 case. But it highlights that it's a tough problem in general.
Astonishing. A fundamental mathematical speed limit, almost, that governs how random paths behave.
That's one way to think about it. Then the paper takes this further. Theorem 2.2 extends the large deviation idea to the random walks, the discrete step paths.
Okay, so it works for them too.
It does, but with a slight modification. For random walks, that covariance matrix we mentioned earlier also comes into play, alongside the kappa constant.
Right, the matrix describing the shape of the walk.
Exactly. And then there's theorem 2.3. This gives the law of the iterated logarithm the ultimate fluctuation boundaries for both Brownian motion and random walks.
And does the magic kappa constant show up there too?
It does. Along with the covariance matrix again for the random walk case.
So these theorems basically lay out the mathematical laws governing both the rare events and the long-term fluctuation limits for these intersections, covering both the smooth and the step-by-step path types.
That's the essence of it. The paper even points out how these results differ from the known laws for those critical cases we talked about earlier.
How do they differ?
The critical cases involve logarithmic terms in their formulas, suggesting a fundamentally different kind of long-term behavior right at that boundary where PD2 equals D. Interesting. So this paper essentially solves the puzzle for all the other non-critical cases.
That's the claim, yes. It fills in the picture for those scenarios in dimensions 2 and 3 that were previously open.
Okay. The outline also mentions connections to other areas of math. Where else do these intersection ideas pop up?
Yeah, it's quite interconnected. The concepts and the tools used here have links to studying how a single path intersects itself. That's called renormalized self-intersection local time.
So a path crossing its own tracks.
Exactly. Also to analyzing more general types of random movements called additive Levy processes, and even to understanding things like the Hausdorff dimension spectrum of thick points.
Hausdorff dimension. Thick points. That sounds like fractal geometry territory. Measuring the complexity of the places visited most often. You're on the right track. It relates to the intricate fractal-like structure of where these paths spend most of their time. So yeah. Deep structural insights into randomness.
Wild. Any other connections?
There's also a link mentioned to something called the range problem.
Mm.
This compares two things. The number of different places where intersections happen versus the total amount of time spent intersecting.
Ah, so count of sites versus duration of overlap.
Right. And apparently, for the specific case of two paths in 2D, those two quantities behave very differently over long times. The author suggests their theorem 2.1, the one about large deviations in kappa, might open up ways to understand the extreme behavior, the tail probabilities for the number of distinct intersection sites, too.
Okay, that's quite a web of connections. Now, just briefly, what kind of heavy-duty math tools do they need to pull all this off? The outline lists are quite a few.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely advanced stuff. They use techniques like smoothing the intersection times using convolution, which sort of averages things out. There are Feynman-Kac-type large deviations, which connect probability theory with differential equations.
Okay.
They use localization techniques to zoom in on specific regions, detailed moment computations, calculating statistical averages and variances, things like time exponentiation, which involves Laplace transforms.
Wow.
The invariance principle that formally links the random walks to Brownian motion, various moment inequalities to bound probabilities, and the Borel-Kentelli lemma, which is crucial for proving things that happen with probability one, like the law of the iterated logarithm.
Okay, that's a serious mathematical toolkit. It really underscores how complex these seemingly simple random crossings actually are underneath.
It absolutely does. You need these sophisticated methods to rigorously pin down the underlying structure and long-term behavior.
So let's try to wrap up this deep dive. We've looked at the math behind how independent random paths meet up, both the smooth Brownian kind and the step-by-step random walks.
Uh-huh.
We found that the chances of rare intersection events and the ultimate limits on how much the intersection time fluctuates depend crucially on the dimension of the space, the number of paths.
And surprisingly,
this fundamental best constant kappa coming from the Gagliardo-Nirenberg inequality and analysis, it's amazing how these abstract concepts give concrete predictions about randomness.
It really is. And we touch on how these ideas ripple out, connecting to self-intersections, other random processes, even fractal dimensions.
Yeah, suggesting a kind of underlying unity. It definitely makes you appreciate the hidden structure in things that look purely random.
For sure. The math reveals patterns we wouldn't otherwise see.
So maybe a final thought for you, the learner, to chew on. We've seen how drastically the dimension and the number of paths change the intersection behavior. It makes you wonder, what fundamental principles might be governing similar kinds of interaction probabilities in other complex systems you might encounter? Maybe systems in biology or economics or social networks, things far outside pure math.
That's a great question. How do these mathematical principles manifest elsewhere?
Exactly. Something to ponder. Thanks for joining us on this intellectual journey today.
Yeah, thanks for diving in with us.